The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The return of Oasis reminds us of the possibility of reconciliation for siblings even after the most bitter and public falling out. Obviously, in the case of the Gallagher brothers, the reality of turning that reconciliation into massive financial reward can be a driver. But what of ordinary folk who fall out with a sibling? I'm joined by Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, is there a typical situation why siblings fall out?
Well, yes. I mean, there's many reasons why they fall out. I mean, it can be kind of an ongoing childhood kind of situation where kids never got on and then they continue not to get on and they stay apart in that way. But I suppose I'm thinking more about those siblings who got on and then they parted or they decided that's it. You know, it's often on foot of, you can say, growing apart, but it's more likely to be around incidents or clashes. And those kind of things, you know, something, a very, you know, very bad argument, past hurts, people getting very, very insulted by something. Also, there are many issues around money and inheritance, of course, how things are divvied up and all of these things. So there's many issues that can feed into it.
Yeah. Now, the issues that can feed in, obviously money, a huge element where there is, yes, observed by one party or another that there has not been fair play in any divvy up of inheritance. But also,
correct,
sometimes the burden of caring falls on one person,
yes,
and there's resentment by that person of the others who don't share the load.
Share the load. And that's a very typical one, which is interesting when you say it. That's a very usual one as well. But also, what we know from the research is that there is a tendency for sibling estrangement to happen more as we age. In other words, one very recent research piece was around 10,000 sibling sort of couples, if you like, interviewed. And those who are in their younger years are less inclined to it. So as we get older, more inclined. Also that the situations tended to be around incidents. In other words, there was a death or a divorce or a particular event. And as a result of that, there was estrangement. So I think that is quite interesting to think about, that we have to be careful around those kind of events, yeah, for that very reason.
How often does the spouse of one of the siblings interfere in a way that causes the rift?
I think often, yes. I think you see naturally the relationships hinge on, you know, the siblings and the parents of those siblings, if you like. That's what keeps things together. It's also, sorry, and I'm coming back to the in-laws directly, but in fact, when parents are absent, the estrangement is much more likely to, if you like, embed itself. Whereas if you think about it, when your parents are still alive, there's often still reasons to go back home, to be together. So when an in-law then, if you like, or a spouse, partner comes into play, they don't have the same relationship, of course. We'll need to look at the Meghan Harry situation. The relationship, the love, the connection, the depth is different, of course. And so they're looking at the situation quite differently, and they can interfere. And, you know, in some ways they can interfere healthily, and in other ways it can be unhealthy. In other words, an outsider can see things that perhaps you can't see. Maybe there is a good reason why people step apart. Sometimes that's necessary. But it's really important, I think, just to recognize that there can be a way back. You don't have to take bad treatment from anybody, and that's obviously not what I'm promoting in any way. So estrangement can have an important purpose. Stepping back from each other can be an important thing, but it doesn't mean it has to be forever.
Now, the question of taking sides, because,
yes,
you know, in extended families, you might have to go with Joe or with Mary. Make up your mind.
Exactly. And there's a great push, and it's an unhealthy push to take sides. And it can be very, very difficult for other siblings and for parents who have relationships perhaps with each of them. And then you have one won't talk to the other and they don't want to hear about them. So do you mention them in conversation or do you leave them out? So this is where the impact is on the family. And I think it's, you know, really important that a kind of a certain seamliness, if you like, is kept around that so that the opportunities for return can be there. That's where I would see that.
So that's the question. You know, it depends, I suppose, how long the rift has been going on. The longer, the harder to repair, I suspect.
Yes.
So what general advice can you give about trying to repair a long-standing rift?
Well, it's quite interesting. You know, I would always say, you know, give space and give time. Of course, people have to have, if they feel they have to cool down and things have to be cooled and people feel very strongly about their position, that's okay. That has to be respected. And I think the most you can hope is that over time this will, you know, sort of cool down a little bit. And setting, you know, in order to repair, I would say, respect it and accept that, but keep that door open. And the way family and individuals keep the door open is by just having some seemly kind of connecting. In other words, that it can still be a card, a text, a good luck. It doesn't have to have a big response. Things can be noticed, like, you know, new children arriving or something, you know, some new change in their life. And you can acknowledge that. Yeah. But you don't, it doesn't have to be reciprocated with a big gushing response.
So a text, an email, a card,
yes,
on an occasion, whatever that might be, a birthday, an anniversary, a birth, whatever it might be.
Yes.
It's a start.
I think is a start. The other is then, remember, we will always be attending different things that are family based, or mostly that's the case. And I think, you know, keeping conversations very neutral. And I think it's quite interesting, actually, with the Gallagher brothers, you know, they're not staying near each other during these during these concerts. You know, they're not partying together. They're just kind of connecting over that time where they have this particular thing to do together. And I think, and of course, as you say, it's highly productive and very important financially and all of that. So sometimes we have to come together anyway, family, for different things. And that it's quite important to know how to just manage that, I think. It's quite reasonable to come, to just be pleasant, to make it pleasant for other people. Now, people might say, oh, that's false. No, I don't think that is false. I think when we're adult, we should be able to recognize where we are, recognize all the other responsibilities that are around us and the pressure we're placing on others. Therefore, I think, you know, being able to be seemly about it, seemly sounds like maybe a trite kind of word, but perhaps just being able to be mannerly and a little bit gracious around it, I think is helpful both to oneself and to others.
Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.